Good morning. My name is Josue Villa. I serve here at PCC as an associate pastor, and I'm thankful today to have this opportunity to speak to you and share a message with you this morning. But I want to start by asking you to think about this question and to keep thinking about this question even as we go through the message. And the question is this: how does God feel about people who are different than me? Different than you and I. You know, the people who look different, who have different values, have a different skin color, speak a different language, come from different countries, run in different circles. And I know that's a loaded question. And also know that because we're in church, you're probably going to give me the correct answer saying, of course, God loves everyone. But the reason I ask it is not necessarily to see what you believe about God or if you know the right answer, but rather to see if your heart and my heart are aligned with God's heart. There's an interesting passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Let me give you a little background before we dive into the story for today. And Jesus and his disciples have been preaching and teaching and baptizing, healing the sick, doing all kinds of wonderful things around Galilee. And as a result, they gathered a large following, a large crowd just began to follow after them. In fact, the crowds have grown significantly that Luke tells us in verse 9, Luke chapter 8, verse 19. He says, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Can you imagine? Mary can't get near her own son. Now, about this time, I'm thinking the disciples are feeling good about what's going on. They're feeling good about the ministry, how it's all going. Things are going right. And here, after this, Jesus then drops this bomb on them. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, Scripture says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to you, but Jesus wasn't talking about a weekend getaway here. The other side wasn't just a geographical location. You see, everyone knew what was on the other side. The lake or the Sea of Galilee divided two groups of people, Jews on one side and outsiders on the other side. Isn't it human nature for us to always find ways to create sides? We tend to divide people into my side or the other side, us versus them, insiders versus outsiders. When the qualities of other people are acceptable to me, they're on my side. When they're not, they're on the other side. And it's so much easier, isn't it, to love people on my side. And it's just as easy to take people on the other side and clump them all together and think they're all alike. Well, in Jesus' time, the other side of the lake was taboo. It was dangerous. It was the side where good Jews and rabbis didn't go to. In fact, we learn from the Gospel of Mark, the other side was known as the Decapolis. And this just means the 10 cities. There were cities of outsiders. These were the cities where the foreigners and the outcasts lived. It was the side considered to be ungodly and pagan. And so Jesus is making quite a statement here when he says, let's leave what's comfortable here at home and let's go to the other side. Now, I can just imagine the disciples, you know, like many times we see throughout the Gospels that they question Jesus. What's he doing now, this crazy guy? But the disciples reluctantly agree, and they get in a boat, and they set out. Now, the next part of that scripture tells us that that night there was a terrible storm, and some of you know that part of the story. It's where Jesus rebukes the storm, and he also rebukes the disciples for their lack of faith. But that's not the focus today. I want to look at what happens next in verse 26 as they cross the lake. Verse 26 says, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. They get to, see, you get, they get to the other side and all their notions are confirmed. Boy, this is a godless place. No crowd. No following. In fact, the welcome committee is composed of one, a demon-possessed individual. He's dirty, he's naked, he's homeless. His own family and community have outcast him. So now he lives in a cemetery, alone. I'm sure this is not the kind of ministry that the disciples had in mind or had imagined. Now, you know, it's like, why did we leave what's good on the other side to come to this side? This is not who they wanted to serve. But here's what happened next. Verse 28, when he, the demon-possessed man, saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times they had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. This is a scary encounter, isn't it? And it probably makes us uncomfortable. As I was preparing the last couple of weeks, I thought, oh, why did I commit to this? Like, you know, it's kind of a scary story here. But more than that, I want us to look at, what does this say about Jesus? What does this story say about Jesus? This encounter with this demon-possessed man. Well, as we look at this, I believe that it reminds us of three important truths. Truths that were true then and are true now. First is this, that the good news is for everyone. Now, I'm sure the disciples were thinking, Jesus, don't you know that the kingdom is just for one side? Wasn't it just for Israel? Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus, though, over and over, ignore the so-called barriers. He was accused of going to the other side and eating and drinking with sinners. He stepped over the Jew and Samaritan barrier over and over again. In fact, he completely ignored the rule that Jewish men were not supposed to speak to Samaritan women when he opened up a lengthy and meaningful conversation with one in John chapter 4. It's as if to Jesus, there were no sides. Yes, he came to bring good news to Israel, but he also brought good news to the other side. And Jesus, by his actions, reminds us of God's promise that all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through him. And he wanted his followers to understand that and to live it out. To build church communities where people of different races and different backgrounds and different customs could sit together, eat together, pray together, and call each other brother and sister. I grew up in a little town out in West Texas. And when I was in fourth grade, I was reminded of this. My son is in fourth grade, and I was like, wow, I was at that age when this happened. But when I was a fourth grader, I had a school project where we were asked to interview an adult and ask about their job. And I don't know why, but instead of thinking of my parents, mostly the other kids interviewed their parents, but instead of thinking of them, I thought, who is the most important man in this town? And I thought, I know. It's the person, the man who runs the bank. I bet he has lots of money and a nice house, and I bet he has a fun job. So after school, back in the days when you could walk anywhere, but after school, I just dropped by the bank one day to ask for an interview. And I walked up to the receptionist, and, you know, I remember that day, and she, very polite, but she told me that Mr. Billingsley was busy and that I probably needed to call ahead and ask for an interview, an appointment. Well, she asked if, you know, if I wanted to leave my name and number, and so I did, but I was disappointed that I couldn't just walk in and talk to him. And I thought, oh, well, what am I going to do now? I certainly didn't want to return the next day. But I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. But later that evening, Mr. Billingsley just showed up at our front door. Totally unexpected. And I remember this story vividly because it just had a great impact on me up until this day. I knew that he didn't have to do this. In fact, when he walked into our living room, I was a little embarrassed that the house wasn't picked up. And yeah, even at 10 years old, I was like that. But he literally went to the other side of town, if you know what I mean. And that he would consider a little boy who was very different than him important enough to look him up and come over to his house and grant him an interview. Author and pastor John Ortberg wrote in one of his books, "Our world isn't starving so much for a community where people love other people who are just like them, but it is starving for a church where people can love people who are different." I think some people on the outside look at the church and think, you know, I could never be part of that community. I don't think I would be accepted. I don't think I would fit in. Everyone on the inside has their life together, and if they only knew that my life was a wreck, they wouldn't let me in. Church, people really do feel that way. I've talked to them. And so that's why Jesus reminds us that we are the ones that have to step out. We are the ones that are to cross over the lines, tear down walls, tear down barriers, and go to whatever side is necessary to say to people, God's love and God's mercy is for everyone. God's grace can reach out to you just like it did, just like he reached out to me. And we must consistently and faithfully communicate this to a world starving to be loved. To people who don't think that they fit in, who think that they're too different and too far gone on the other side. But the good news has been given to us so that we say, you know, God's blessing, God's love, God's forgiveness is available for everyone. Second, we see in this story that people really do matter to God. Look at verse 30. Jesus asked him, this demoniac, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. That's the legion word just means many. But do you see Jesus' heart here? Jesus one day leaves the crowd, takes a trip to meet one tormented man. And he asks his name. Do you think Jesus already knew? I mean, the most powerful, all-knowing God. Don't you think he probably already knew his name? But he asks his name because asking for someone's name is a way of saying, you matter. It's saying, you are important to me. And see, you and I, we have countless opportunities every day to show people that they matter to God. But so often we miss these opportunities because we're addicted to our phones, we're addicted to our gadgets, or busy with our own thoughts, our own agendas, that we simply fail to connect with each other, and we fail to connect with people that God so desperately wants us to connect with, people that he calls us to love. You see, we are followers of Jesus, and yet so often Jesus reminds us, just don't be like the religious people. Just don't be so overly religious that you just forget about people, forget to care about people. Remember the story, the parable that he told just a couple of chapters later in Luke chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan? There's this guy that was left on the side of the road, beat and left for dead. And two religious guys walk by. In verse 31, Luke 10, 31 says, a priest, a religious guy, happened to be going down on the same road. And when he saw the man, he decided to just pass on the other side. So to a Levite, remember God's chosen tribe, to lead God's people. A Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, also decided, let me pass on the other side. So many times, we just prefer to walk on the other side, to ignore people. We just prefer to not get involved, not get our hands dirty. And I've been reminded this week, as you know, I've been preparing for this message, of like, oh, I forgot what it was like to preach and prepare every week. But I was reminded that it's difficult as you prepare. And it's difficult for this reason, because God shows me in my preparation how short I fall in living up to what I'm teaching. That if people matter to God, as we see here in Scripture, that they should matter to me. And I'm not talking about, you know, looking for opportunity to find wounded people on the side of the road and bandaging them up. I'm talking about the simplest forms of loving people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? See, if you only love the people, is what he's saying, who love you back, what good is that? Nothing wrong with that, but if you're just doing that, how are you any different? The next verse in Matthew 5:47 says, and if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? You see, Jesus takes it down to the most basic act of all humanity, how we greet people. Like, really, Jesus? How we greet people is that important? Yes, apparently so. If you only greet people like you, how are you any different? How are you light and salt to the world, as we saw last week? Even the pagans on the other side, just all they do is just greet their own people. How are we any different? You see, when you greet people that are not in your circle, you acknowledge that they exist. It's a way to say, you're welcome into my sphere. You're welcome into my world. You see, in Jesus' time, the greeting was shalom, which meant God's peace and fullness be with you. In our time, all we say is, hey, what's up, right? And we've come a long way in civilization, right? That was supposed to be funny, but. But whatever the greeting, it's a way to connect with people and allow God to begin working in those relationships as we connect with others. And I became so aware of this over the last few days that I caught myself looking past people, avoiding eye contact, missing those opportunities to show people that they matter. And so for these last few days, I'm just becoming more conscious of the people around me, at work, in the elevator, at the ballpark. And those opportunities where the Holy Spirit nudges me to say, hey, speak to people. Say hello. Give them a smile. You matter. Give them a handshake saying, you know, you matter. You're important. You're welcome in my world. And let me just tell you, I've seen, not that I've spent so much time doing this, but I've seen immediate results in the conversations that have been started. And I see the difference that it makes in my own heart, that I can be more like Jesus, even in the simple things. And church, the world needs to desperately know that all people matter to God. And I just bet that there are some people here this morning that are wondering, maybe you just came in for the first time and you're wondering, can God really care about me? Have I wandered too far away from God? Have I just messed up my life so bad that there's no way that he would accept me? Could I even belong in a community like this? The answer is, according to Jesus, yes. Jesus certainly cares about you. Just like he cared about Legion and countless others encounters through the Gospels. We've been given homework, and I hope you've been following that homework to read, pick a Gospel and read through it. And it doesn't matter which Gospel, you will see encounter after encounter where Jesus doesn't really get too thrilled about the crowds. Yes, he preaches to them, and He doesn't get too thrilled about crowds that don't really want to follow him wholeheartedly. But he, so many encounters where he just meets people where they are, one-on-one. And he starts conversations and he digs deep into people and then he tells them what God is like. See, the world needs this. Later on, and just a few chapters later in Luke chapter 15, I believe, Jesus tells these three parables, and one of them is the parable of the lost sheep. You remember that? But the shepherd has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost. And that shepherd, because he loves that one lost sheep, he leaves the 99, and he goes and looks through caves and looks through valleys and looks everywhere to find that one lost sheep. And he says, that's how much God cares for you. That's what God is willing to do for that one person. The scripture goes on to say that Jesus had compassion on Legion and he healed him. He set him free from all those demons. And then the scripture says that Jesus says, come out of there. And he commanded them to go, these demons to go into these pigs. There was a couple of thousand pigs there. Just another reminder, you know, Jews hated pigs, and on that side it was okay to have pigs. And but he calls these demons and he tells them to get into these pigs, and these pigs, they just jump over the cliff and they go drown themselves. But Legion is healed. But here's what happened. The people tending the pigs, the men tending the pigs, they went into town and told everyone what had happened. And instead of accepting the news, instead of the other side accepting the news with joy, instead they asked Jesus to leave. Why? Well, I think it's understandable. Here's this guy from the other side. He comes to their side. They don't know what he's all about. And then he shows this great power, and they think, oh, what's he going to do to us? Leave. Get out of here. And Jesus, just the man he is, respected their wishes, and he left. But before he does this, this happens in verse 38. It says, Luke says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. Here's Legion says, can I just go with you? Can I just become your 13th disciple? But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The third and last truth I want to share this morning that we take from this story is that we are responsible to tell others. Tell others what? Well, Jesus says, how much God has done for you. Jesus didn't say to Legion, I want you to go to pastor school, prepare yourself, and then go preach to your town. No. All he asked was that he would tell others how much God had done for him, that God had mercy on him and granted him freedom and peace and restored him back to his family. See, no one can argue with that. No one can debate with that. I know a lot of Christians, they just want to force their beliefs on people. We want to force people to just accept the truth, and we want to argue with people, and good luck. Some people are good at that. There's apologetics and all that. I'm not. Most of us, I don't think Jesus is asking most of us to do that. But see, No one can argue with a story. No one can argue with what God has done for you. If you are in Christ Jesus, God has transformed you. He has changed you. And that's what God wants for you to share with others. There's nothing to argue about that. A story is a story. Love is love. And when life change is authentic, people can see that. And they want to hear about that. People can see God clearly through stories. People are drawn to God when you and I share what's good about Him. And I know most of us find it easier to talk about everything else that's wrong in our lives. You know, what's wrong at home, what's wrong with the kids, with our jobs, with our health, with our ball teams. But Jesus says, make sure you tell everyone about the kindness of God toward you. You see, you and I, we have this wonderful privilege to be spokespeople for God. We have this responsibility to cross over lines and tear down barriers and ignore so-called sides and just help people, all kinds of people, be reconciled to God. You see, there's every single day, I guarantee you, people, all kinds of people all around us. And God is asking us, wake up, they're around you. They need God's grace. It's not just for our side. It's not just for our group. It's for everyone. The leaders at this church, I haven't been around here, but the leaders at this church, I get to speak to them, and I see that they have a desire that this church reflect the community that we live in. And so we want everyone to be aware of the opportunities that we have each day. For everyone in the church, in this church, to reflect God's love in the way that we interact with the people in this city. People in our community, they need forgiveness. People in our community, they need to be restored. People in our city need hope. They need healing. People's hearts that are broken, they need to be mended again. People need a community where they are welcome and included. I've met people out at the ballpark, and they're moving from all over. I have a couple of kids on our baseball team that their parents just moved here from New York, the state of New York, from New Jersey, California, and they don't have family here. They don't have friends here. They so desperately need community where to be welcomed. People need to find peace. People want to be included. People need to find their way back to God. And let me ask you, who else can help them with all these things? We have lots of corporations, lots of big business here in Austin. Can a big business help people with this? Can a bank or a banker help people with all of this? Can a government agency help? Can a nonprofit with all its work, a lot of good work, but can they really help? No, friends. Only the church. Only the church with God's message. Only the church that is so filled with God's love. And you know what the church is? It's you and me and all of us together. See, God has given you and me this wonderful privilege to love people, to connect with people, and to help them be reconciled to God. You don't have to do that part. Jesus already has done that by dying on a cross. This morning, I want to close this message by showing a video. And this video, I think it's a great way to close with an example of what it means to cross over racial barriers and show God's love and forgiveness, even to those that are different than us and those that we may think that they don't deserve it. Let's watch. When I saw that video, I loved it because I love when they asked Jamel, for whose sake did you forgive? For his sake or your sake? And the answer is spot on for both of us, for all of us. You see, I think Jamel understands this deep, beautiful truth that there are truly only two sides. God is on one side, and the rest of us are on the other side. That's the only way we can love people and forgive people that are different than us. If we can understand this truth that God is there and the rest of us are on this side. Scripture says that only God is righteous. Only God is perfect. Only God is completely holy. We're not on His side. We're on the other side. But you know what He did? He sent His Son, who completely humbled Himself. He came to this side, to this sinful world, and He became our servant. And He offered up His life to die on a cross, just so that all of us could be reconciled to God and bring us over to His side. For there is light. And the beautiful thing is that He offers this to anyone who believes. Let's pray. God, we are humbled by Your amazing love and Your grace to people like us. God, we come before You seeking You. And we ask, God, that we could see what's really important. We, all of us, we have this short life. We're reminded when celebrities die and things happen during the week. And we're reminded that life is short. God, would You remind us, would You open our eyes and let us know what's truly important in this short life that we have? God, can we see that You are the most important thing? That seeking You with all our heart is the top of that list. And God, would You also help us to see that in this short life, the people around us that You want to connect with, that You love so dearly, that they are a priority to You, God. Help us as a community see this. Help us to love people, to love each other, to love others like You have loved us. We thank You so much for the amazing gift of grace. We celebrate Jesus this morning. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Will you stand as we continue to worship? All right. Homework for today. First of all, is continue, as we've been given over the last couple of weeks, continue, pick a gospel and keep reading through that and look how Jesus loves people and how He does His best to connect them back to God. Second part of the homework is make it a priority this week to connect with people, even if it's just a greeting or a smile, just to say, hey, you matter to God, you matter to me. And then the third part, a lot of homework today. But will you sign up and show up next week for the Cinco de Mayo festivities? This is a great opportunity for us to connect to the other side. This is not just a party for our side. It's to connect with this community. And let's all take this opportunity to really do a good job with that and welcome people and let them know how much they matter. All right? Is that a deal? All right, great. The blessing for today comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen. You're dismissed.